All right, perfect. All right, good morning, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Colquhoun meeting the 12th floor of the Capitol today. It's Wednesday, October 9th, 2013, a little bit after 10 a.m. We're meeting for a regular scheduled commission meeting. We actually have a lot of items on the agenda today. The only opening comment I would offer is that for those of you that have forgotten, today is sauerkraut days in Wishick. So as soon as we can possibly get out of the building, we'll be heading towards the Wishick tonight. So Delmer Zimmerman will be there, and hopefully there'll be plenty of sauerkraut for all. So, Commissioner Christman, any opening comments?
Well, what would I say that would top sauerkraut days in Wishick? Because the buffalo feed in Streeter is not for quite a few more days yet. So
it would be close between the two of them.
Nothing else to add. Thank you.
I'm holding out for lutefisk in Altamont.
We certainly know our hot spots then. All right, perfect. There are a few items on consent. I would move passage of the consent items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Since you're not all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Motion is approved.
All right, thank you, Daryl. All right, moving to the regular scheduled agenda. Okay, item BK1. I move the commission adopt the finding of fact, conclusion of law, and order issuing a certificate of site compatibility number 35 to Thunder Spirit Wind LLC, authorizing construction of its proposed 150-megawatt Thunder Spirit Wind Energy Project in Adams County, North Dakota, case number PU11-601.
Second.
Okay, a little background on this project. The back in August of 2011, Thunder Spirit initially filed their letter of intent with the commission. Basically, for a variety of reasons, the project never moved forward. But in March 27th of this year, the commission acknowledged the amended letter of intent from the company, and Thunder Spirit filed for an application for certificate of site compatibility for up to 150 megawatts of wind. In June of this year, the commission deemed the application complete, and we set a hearing for August 9th of 2013 at 9:30 Mountain Time in Adams County Courthouse. But quite honestly, as the hearing date approached, it became very apparent to the commission that there was many issues dealing with the county as far as what they were setting their own setbacks to be. And so what the commission decided, and also the company was supposed to file its final turbine location a week prior to the hearing. The company didn't file their final turbine location in the adequate time, and there was a lot of discussion at the county about what the county wanted to do for their own setbacks. So basically at that time, I think all three commissioners agreed it wasn't a good time for us to go down there. So basically we rescheduled the hearing till September 19th to allow the county to do what they wanted to do for their own county. And there's a lot of things that came out of the county discussion, but the long and short of it was the county developed their own setbacks of 2,640 feet, which is quite restrictive compared to the normal 1,400 that the commission guideline has kind of established. But I thought that was very important. The commission stepped back a little bit, let the county go through their own process of what they want to do to develop their county. And then based on that, the commission went down for September 19th hearing. Their hearing was held in the Adams County Courthouse. We had a few members of the public attend, some for the project, some against it, quite honestly. One of the county commissioners was for it. We had a couple concerned, we had some concerned landowners that were always concerned about the visual aesthetics, and there was some questions about some of the species that came up during the hearing. But as we worked through the hearing, a lot of things really flushed out. The project still is 150 megawatts of power is what they're hoping to deliver. It could be a combination of 75 2-megawatt turbines, or it could be 53-megawatt turbines. The estimated output for this is 676,000 megawatt hours per year. So you can see this is a huge amount of energy that will be dumped into the grid, which could be available to the MISO markets, western North Dakota, or other areas. As we all know, certainly wind isn't baseload power, but there's certainly a lot of energy that is available in western North Dakota or to the larger MISO market. One of the things that's always unique about turbines is that they gave us the locations of up to 75 turbines. And so if they pick the 75 turbines, they'll use all those locations. If they don't, they'll certainly use the less locations. So prior to the construction, they certainly have to tell us how many turbines they're going to use and the exact turbine location. But what's always interesting is they tell us and brief the worst-case scenario for all the turbines. So in the hearing, you establish that you know, the worst possible scenario for shadow flicker, the worst possible scenario for noise. And so I think that's a very good way to work it, given the sometimes uncertainty on turbine selections that has evolved over the turbine availability. One of the first hearings we had on this way back when, we had a lot of questions about, you know, they should be selecting the turbine before you go to the hearing. But I understand the concerns, and the commission at that time understood the concerns about what turbines might be available. So developing the, you know, the worst case scenario seemed to kind of be the best way to deal with it, because then you've covered all possible selection points. The energy from this farm will be stepped up to a 230 kV line for transition connecting to the MDU Hettinger station. Construction of the Thunder Spirit project is expected to take approximately 9 months, a total estimated cost of $300 million. The company hopes to start construction in late 2013 or 2014. They'll be using the SCADA system to control the operations of the wind farm. The project will comply with all National Electric Safety Code parameters. There are no economically recoverable coal reserves that have been identified in the project area. Any of the avoidance areas were avoided. The SHPO filed a letter of concurrence saying no significant sites affected, no historic properties affected. It should be noted that there are areas inside the project area that are of archaeological concern, but in the turbine placement, in the road placement, all those areas were avoided. So it was the SHPO's concurrence was very important, I guess, to me. I'll be voting for this project. It's always important to hear from them. Let's see, what else do we have here? U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service was in consultation with Thunder Spirit. There was one eagle's nest that was in the area. The company agreed to establish a two-mile buffer around this to make, quote-unquote, extra sure that nothing is impacted. They also agreed, the company agreed with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to developing a bird and bat conservation strategy, and they'll be working with the Fish and Wildlife Service to finalize this study as the project continues. There was testimony presented on the noise and shadow flicker. All those were in compliance with local zoning as well as the PSC established guideline. As I talked about early on, this no wind turbines will be placed within 2640 feet of occupied residence. So, as I said, this is, you know, by far the most restrictive that the commission has ever been involved in. But I would say that going forward, I don't view this 2640 as a new standard. I view this as a standard that the county wanted, and we complied with what the intent of the county was. I'm still comfortable with 1400 feet for setbacks. But if the county wants that, and that's their county, they should be able to set the parameters. So just put that out there for those that might be looking at future wind farms in North Dakota. Thunder Spirit has also developed a management plan to protect against spread of noxious weeds. Thunder Spirit has a legal obligation to decommission the wind farm. They are directed to participate in one call and coordinate with local authorities and first responders if there is emergency response needed. And Thunder Spirit shall file a final turbine layout with the turbine models identified and approved turbine locations that it tends to use in construction. One of the things that's not in this order but came out in the discussion with the hearing is there was some concerns initially in the southwest portion of this wind farm how it may affect the Hettinger airfield and the adjacent grass strip. The company agreed to modify things, so that all worked itself out. A couple other things. I keep talking about this is the most restrictive setbacks of any wind farm in North Dakota. Just the last commission meeting, the commission approved the Bison Wind Farm, which is in the area of Center, Hayes, and Beulah. You know, that wind farm had the setbacks of, you know, much closer. But it's interesting how, you know, each county has approached this differently. And I think that's one of the things that actually Scott Sheldon and I think my colleagues were all down at the Association of Counties this last week. We really try to work hard with the counties, understanding what their desire is for developing their county and what our rules are, and if we can work with them as they figure out how best to develop their individual counties. I firmly believe the record supports approval of this project. It has 676,000 megawatt hours going to be dumped into the grid at a time we need generation. It's also available to the MISO markets. The county approved this project on September 9th. And the last comment I would have is that I think it's very key that what our role is. Our role in this particular project is siting. We go through and site this project according to the laws and rules that have been established. and we make a decision. Need is not one of the things that's looked at. Now, there's not a buyer that is set for this project. If the buyer turns out to be an MDU or an Otter Tail or an Xcel Energy that's an investor-owned, at a different proceeding, we'll come back through and look at the need of this project and whether it's something that we think is appropriate, as we're doing right now for ADPs that are coming our way for Xcel Energy. So I think there's a fine distinction between our role as siting and our role as figuring out how much power is used by our investor-owned utilities and what the mix of it is. So quite honestly, I thought it was a very good project that we gave the county more time to do what they wanted to do. The company has really worked, I think, hard with all the groups, whether it's Historical Society, the Fish and Wildlife Service, the individual county, and I think it sets a good precedence of how we have individual companies dealing with the folks most affected. So I would move passage of this like I did, and everything seems to be in order.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, very well explained, first of all. And just on the very last point that you were making, I guess, is the one area where I'm just looking at this from a slightly different perspective than the chairman. But before I explain that, you talked about Adams County with their setbacks, and I think that it just can't hardly be emphasized enough, whatever those counties choose, that they actively choose to do nothing or do something, but not just wait until something's in front of them. And Adams County made a decision, and I admire them for coming up with a plan on this. Getting to the application itself, though, I will acknowledge that this application tends to satisfy the 11 requirements in 49-2209 that this commission is traditionally used when making siting decisions. I'd also point out, though, that section of law expressly points out that we're not limited in our deliberations to those 11 requirements. And 49-2202 also tasks the commission with ensuring continuing system reliability and integrity. As for need, the commission addressed a case in the early 80s regarding a transmission line that was to be constructed by the Nebraska Public Power District. And at that time, this commission determined that it did not have authority to or the duty to determine need. And that was ultimately affirmed by the Supreme Court. In that affirmation, there was a separate concurring opinion from then-Justice Van de Waal that lamented the statutory scheme of the time that did not require the PSC to look into the issue of need. So it certainly was discussed at the time. So admittedly, at first glance, it would appear that decision would require approval of this application. However, I think a deeper reading of the entire 49th chapter of the Century Code suggests the opposite. Since that Nebraska Public Power District case, the legislature has, in fact, provided clarification regarding its objectives for retail electric power within the state of North Dakota. Section 49-0228 sets an objective that 10% of all electricity sold at retail within the state by the year 2015 be obtained from renewable energy and recycled energy sources. And that this objective applies to all retailers of electricity in the state regardless of ownership status, so it covers municipals and cooperatives as well. In 2007, when that was adopted, the legislature could have set a higher renewable factor than 10%. It could have set a renewable objective of at least 10%, but they didn't. So clearly, to me, the 10% objective, while it emphasizes in the section, it's not technically enforceable, it was set with an objective that the other 90% should be obtained from traditional energy sources. And it's unclear, but whether that objective that 90% of all the electricity sold at retail in the state be obtained from traditional energy sources is to assure dependability or for long-term price stability or for other reasons, I think really isn't a factor in this decision. Since that time in 2007, Producers in the state have added well over 1,000 megawatts of wind generation. Our cumulative capacity for wind production currently stands at over 1,600 megawatts. So clearly that 10% renewable objective set forth by the legislature has been met and surpassed. This application, in reading it and listening to it, appears primarily focused on gaining support in the Adams County area for the obvious and substantial economic development reasons, and on hurrying along a starting date in order to qualify for the federal production tax credit. And while additional economic activity in the rural area like that is certainly a worthy undertaking, I don't find it to be a compelling reason for this commission to allow the imposition of a significant additional generation cost on the ratepayers or the taxpayers. And since Thunder Spirit's application is silent regarding where the electricity will be marketed, I think the commission has to entertain the possibility that it will be marketed to North Dakota retail customers. And that is a big distinction between this case and the Elite case that we approved unanimously just recently. So with that, I just think Thunder Spirit Wind needs to show how this project fits into North Dakota's electric energy production objective before this should be approved.
Yeah, thank you.
Couple thoughts. Thank you, Commissioner Christman, for that thoughtful case. I come back to this being a siting issue as well, and I look at the three criteria that we are to consider in looking at making these decisions. First, does the project produce minimal adverse effects upon the environment and upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota? Are the proposed facilities compatible with environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources? And will the proposed facility location minimize adverse human and environmental impacts while ensuring continuing system reliability and integrity? I think it's important to emphasize or to consider in that third point, will the proposed facility location minimize adverse human and environmental impacts while ensuring? And I think that both of those are important to consider, not just while ensuring continued system reliability. I think the site of it was supposed to be emphasizing, does the site minimize adverse human and environmental impacts while ensuring continued system reliability? We need more power in Western North Dakota. I'm quite certain that this energy, 150 megawatts, will be consumed readily in the oil patch, and that's probably likely where it will go if a purchase power agreement is signed by this company and one of the energy providers in North Dakota. So I think that it's valuable from that standpoint. I also appreciate the effort that the locals have made, the strong support, the work that they did to make sure that they zoned it in a way that best met the needs of the people in that community. Strong setbacks they established to make every effort to work with the people in their area and their concerns. I think that the objective of 10% of renewable energy, I think that the policymakers, when establishing that, didn't intend it to be a floor or a ceiling, but an objective and an opportunity for the free market to do its work and to have a role in it, rather than a mandate where the government says you have to achieve this set amount. So I don't view this as being a situation where we've achieved that and now everything else above that needs to be from non-renewable sources or traditional energy sources. So I tend to think that the company has done its work. They've met the siting criteria. They're operating in a free market to sell their product if they can find a seller. And I think our job has been done by looking at the siting criteria that the legislature has been established. So I also support this project.
Is there any further discussion?
Just
Just a couple closing thoughts for me, and then I'm sure Randy might have some other thoughts. But just to address Commissioner Crispin's, a couple of his points is that, you know, I strongly agree with what Justice Vandewall said, that need is not a criteria that we look at in citing. So I still believe that is the law of the land. And so anything that would challenge that, I think, just probably doesn't withstand the test of legal scrutiny. The second comment about hurrying the project, quite honestly, we delayed this project by giving the county extra time. So there was no feeling of we have a certain date certain to do this. We gave the county plenty of time. If they would have taken longer, we would have taken longer. And the last thing I think is that I think Commissioner Crispin's comments, if I'm an MDU CEO right now, I've heard from a commissioner that he's very concerned about how they figure out their generation mix. So I think that this discussion in a rate case is absolutely the right discussion to have during a rate case. But with the development of regional transmission organizations such as MISO, this power could drop into the MISO grid, head down the road, and never be used in North Dakota, and never be have a North Dakota ratepayers spend anything for it. So that's where I think this is similar to our Bison 4 project, that it could go down the road somewhere else, but also it could end up in an investor-owned utility purchase power agreement. But that would be a separate proceeding where we would have a rate case, and MDU or Otter Tail or Xcel, like we're in the middle of Xcel right now, has to come back in and justify how they make their generation with cost. So I definitely agree with Justice Vandewall that this need is not something part of this. The company's done a great job with setting all the other things in place, and it's a good project. I'll give you the last word, Commissioner.
The only closing I would have, because most of these things are just, you know, differences of how you view the whole thing, but just on the need thing and Justice Vandewall's opinion, but it was in concurrence with it was a different view, but of the same opinion, the same ultimate decision by the other justices at the time. But I just want to emphasize that the whole objective that is in the Century Code was created after that. And so when he lamented the fact that we don't address the need, I'm viewing it from the view that now the legislature did respond to that and did address, you know, put in the provision for us to address it. So other than that, I have no other comments.
All right, thank you. I have nothing further, Julie.
Nope.
All right.
Commissioner, do you wish me to proceed in the normal voting process, or do we want to go with the roll call vote?
I think we need a roll call vote.
Okay. I will proceed with the roll call vote. Commissioner Kalk.
Aye.
Commissioner Crisman.
Nay.
Commissioner Fedorchuk.
Aye.
The motion is approved.
Okay, thank you, Darryl.
And Mr. Chairman, I don't know if it's routine or if I need to be pointing this out since this is the first one in my tenure here, but I will be submitting a dissenting opinion soon. Is there a time frame when...
I think just as soon as you can do it would be great. We'll put it in the record, and we'll see what happens from here.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, item BK2. I move the commission adopt the order issuing corridor certificate number 147 and route permit number 158 to Elite Inc. for its proposed 250 kV DC transmission line reroute in Stutsman County, North Dakota, case number PU13-103.
Second.
In March of this year, Minnesota Power, an operating division of Elite, filed an application, a letter of intent, to reroute two segments of its 250 kV line in Kidder and Stutsman County. Basically, we set forward that they have until September 4th, if anyone wishing to have a formal hearing, had to respond on this. The what it came down to is because of rising water in this area, two of the structures no longer had the NERC reliability standards that they needed. And so basically the company needed to reroute these into an area that would give them the clearance that they needed. The only comments that we did hear back was that Stutsman County Tax Equalization filed comments expressing concerns that the two existing structures, basically when they take out these structures, they cut them off at a certain level above the water depth, and they had The company's plan was 1 foot. The Stutzman County Equalization wanted 2 feet, so these structures are going to be left. We're at a cutoff point at 2 feet above the water. What's interesting, I talked with our staff expert, Mr. Lean, about this, about why don't just take these out right now. And eventually when the water goes down, they will. But it's interesting that the Corps of Engineers has perhaps a different viewpoint sometimes when you start taking things out of water bodies. So in the back part of this order, we direct them to take this out when appropriate. But the company is doing a reroute to the south, approximately 1,000 feet. Chippewa has determined that there's no historic properties affected in the reroute, and the structures, as I talked about, will be cut off at 2 feet. And once the water level gets down to where they can remove them, they will do such. I think this is just a good example of the company being forward-thinking to make the changes that keep the power line in a reliable state.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thanks, Darrell. Item BK3. Believing that there will be no prejudice to the rights of the parties or the public interest in finding the cases involve similar questions of law and fact, I move the Commission consolidate under North Dakota Administrative Code Section 6902.0404 Northern State Power Company's application for advanced termination of prudence, NG Generators case number PU 13-194, and Northern State Power Company's application for public convenience and necessity, Red River Valley NG Natural Gas Units 1 and 2, Hankinson, North Dakota, case numbers PU 13-195, and issue a notice of consolidated hearing.
Second.
In April of this year, NSP filed an application for an advanced determination of prudence to add 3 215-megawatt natural gas simple cycle combined turbine generator CTs to its system in 3 different areas, in Burnsville and also in Hankinson, 2 different areas. Also on April of this year, NSP requested a certificate of public convenience and necessity. Both these ADP and the PCNN really look at the same kind of issues, so it just makes sense to combine these. We previously set a hearing date for November 26th at 8:30 Central Time in our hearing room to consider these two issues. So I believe this is just a good, efficient use of our time as well as the company's time and the public that may be participating in this case.
We have a motion and a second. Are there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thanks, Darrell. Just a sidebar before I go to item BK4, I wanted to let my two colleagues know, Commissioner Chrisman and Commissioner Fedorchuk, I just filed a letter today that basically lays out that I intend to consider information presented at the ADPs for the wind farms that NSP has in front of us, Courtenay Wind, Pleasant Valley Wind, as well as the ADPs and the PCNN that we're looking at right now on the natural gas, as well as the rate case. And so this letter basically lets all the parties know that I see these three cases as being linked very closely. The wind farm ADPs, the natural gas ADPs are all dealing with need, as well as the rate case has some issues. So ironically enough, our earlier discussion about the Thunder Spirit Wind, this is, I guess, a different view of that I view these three different cases in front of us as linked very closely. So this letter lets all the parties know that I intend to consider information presented in one and my decision in the others, because I think they're related. So this will go to both of you as well as to all the parties that are involved. So it's going to be some interesting hearings.
Okay. Can we sign on to your letter if we're interested in and agree with the same approach?
I suppose you could send back a letter saying you concur with this approach. Okay. That would make sense. But I really wanted to get this letter out there now, because as we consolidate these two hearings, I just view the ADP for the wind farms, the ADP for the gas, and the rate case, I view them as just linked so closely, because they're all about generation. They're all about cost. They're all about what they need to meet their customer demands. So. Item BK4. I move the Commission approve the order on Montana Dakota Utilities Company's application for advanced termination of prudence, Lewis and Clark Generating Station, case number PU 13-332.
Second.
In June of this year, MDU filed an application for advanced termination of prudence for the Lewis and Clark Station's Filterable Particulate Matter Pollutant Controls Project. In July of this year, the Commission issued a notice of opportunity for hearing, and the notice provided until August 28th for those written comments or requests for hearing. We received no one requesting to have a formal hearing. The commission held an informal and talked quite a bit about this project. The Lewis and Clark Station is a single unit, 50-megawatt lignite-fired facility located near Sidney, Montana, which is why, of course, MD would be asking for the ADP because it's not located in North Dakota. It is an integrated system supplying approximately 12% of MDU's energy requirements in 2012. The North Dakota share of this project is approximately 71%. So it's the total cost of this project will be $27.7 million is what they're anticipating now, with approximately $19.7 million of that potentially being allocated to North Dakota customers. In this case, this project is required to meet the non-mercury metal emission limits in the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's final mercury and air toxic standards, the MATS rule, which needs to be in compliance here no later than April of 2015. In this particular case, I strongly agree with the company's decision to apply these proven technologies to meet the requirements of the MATS rule. It's a very low-cost energy that's coming out of this plant. This will continue the life of the plant. They testified they figure at least a decade. You know, it could be longer. But this is an example, I think, that the EPA should follow suit on. That in this case, the EPA came out with a guideline about mercury and air toxins. There was proven technology. They gave everyone time to integrate it. This is the way you should be addressing concerns from the EPA. What they're doing right now with the greenhouse gases, where there's no proven technologies, I think is completely wrong. So I'll take my opportunity to take my dig at that, quite honestly. But I think this project is a very sound project. The technology is there. It'll keep this low-cost generation in the fleet for hopefully a decade at least, maybe longer.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Just a couple other comments to add from our discussion with the company. They made a very compelling case. I felt that this was valuable generation to keep in the system. It's located out in Sidney, Montana, very close to the oil patch, so it's generation close to the load, the heavy loads out there. In the west, they examined a lot of different alternatives, including retiring the facility by 2015, replacing it with gas, replacing it with wind, purchasing off of MISO. And in all the cases, this was the most prudent decision. The next closest was $118 million more over a 50-year lifespan of the project. So even though they're investing $27 million with a plan of even just 5 to 7 years on this fully depreciated plant, it made the most sense for ratepayers to go ahead and do that. So it's really, I think, a good move for customers. It increases the life of the plant, decreases the emissions, so it's good for customers and better for the environment.
Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. Item BK5. I move the commission acknowledge the September 25, 2013 electronic submittal of the 2014 Federal State Gas Pipeline Safety Grant application in the amount of $292,670 to U.S. Department of Transportation Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration, Washington, D.C., for the operation and management of the 2014 North Dakota Intrastate Gas Pipeline Safety Program.
Second.
The Patrick Fawn filed this electronically in September. Of course, him and I talked about it. This motion today takes official notice of it. This is the application that the commission routinely files that talks about the number of inspections that we're going to be doing. We're requesting reimbursement from the Federal Pipeline Association, or PHMSA, if you will. It's a shared jurisdiction on a lot of these pipelines. So this today really sets the stage for getting reimbursement for the operation of, now we have the two pipeline safety individuals, their training, their travel, and it really, it's a backward-looking program where we pay for the program up front and then they'll reimburse us at the end of the year. So once again, as we have the federal government shutdown, it does not affect what we're doing here. This is just a request. But I know that Commissioner Crispin, myself, and Commissioner Fedorchak have talked a lot about the federal dollars that come into the Public Service Commission in our reclamation programs and AML, as well as our pipeline safety program. We always pointed out in our testimony to the legislature that a significant part of this agency is funded federally. And so if those numbers would ever change, how that could affect what we're doing in North Dakota. But for today, the motion is certainly in order, and thank Pat and his crew for putting this together.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, motion is approved.
All right. I'm rivaling Commissioner Chrisman today in my number of motions. Item BK6. I move the commission adopt the order on eligible telecommunication carrier designation to designate Nexus Communication, Inc. as an eligible telecommunication carrier for the purpose of receiving federal universal service support for low-income consumers, case number PU13-98.
Second.
In February of this year, Nexus Communication, a privately held company headquartered in Ohio, filed an application for designation as an ETC under the proposed under the existing federal rules. In March of this year, the commission issued a notice of opportunity for hearing, providing until April for comments and requests for hearing. I would not receive any comments or requests. In June of this year, the commission held an informal hearing to discuss the issues with Nexus. And quite honestly, during the informal, we had a lot of questions about making sure there wasn't abuse in the program, making sure that there was a good checks and balances in the program. We had some reassurances that this might be taking place at the FCC level, but quite honestly, based on Commissioner Chrisman's urging, and I think the other two of us agreed that we've created an additional certification list that the company is requesting this type of designation sign. Sarah did a good job putting that together. The company went through and agreed to all of our conditions, and basically it's just the things in there that put some checks and balances on making sure that the people receiving the services are certainly eligible to receive it and there's not duplication in the program. So I think everything appears to be in order. The company has a compliance plan that's been approved by the FCC, and this and the next order are very similar.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I'd have nothing to add except for to just reemphasize the good work that Sarah and our people did in kind of developing a system on these, because I'm sure there'll probably be more of these applicants.
Absolutely. Any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Item BK7, I move the commission adopt the order on eligible telecommunication carrier designation to designate Boomerang Wireless, LLC, as an eligible telecommunication carrier for the purpose of receiving federal universal service support for low-income consumers, case number PU13-203.
Second.
In May of this year, Boomerang Wireless, an Iowa limited liability corporation, filed application to request the ETC designation. In June of this year, the commission issued the notice of opportunity for hearing, providing until July 31st for comments. None were received. The commission held an informal hearing on September 25th to discuss the issues with Boomerang. Really, they provide similar type of services, Nexus. They also have an approved plan by the FCC. It was approved July 26th of 2012. They agreed to sign our additional certification to make sure we reduce the chance of fraud and abuse in the program, and everything appears to be in order.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, motion is approved.
All right. Last but not least, item BK8. I move the commission execute a contract with Houston Engineering, Inc. for construction inspections servicing concerning Thunder Spirit Wind LLC's construction of the approximately 150 megawatts Thunder Spirit Wind Energy Project in Adams County, North Dakota, case number PU11-601.
Second.
Esther, I just noticed that the third line, Spirit, is spelled incorrectly. So we can get that slight change made. This is a contract that we'll be entering into with Houston Engineering to perform construction inspections during the construction and post-construction of this project to make sure that the company is complying with all requirements of our order. Normally these things are put on consent, and we oftentimes will actually approve them before we make a decision on the actual project. And there is a contingency that the project doesn't go forward. Of course, the contract is not executed. So, but in this case, given the situation that developed on Thunder Spirit Wind, I didn't want to put it on consent ahead of the motion. So that's why it's on the regular agenda for BK8.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Yeah, I just thank you for holding it off until this point, but if it's going to be built, we need to inspect it, so I'm fine with this one.
All right, thank you, Commissioner.
Any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
All right, thank you, Darrell. That concludes the items in my portfolio. Commissioner Christman.
Mr. Chairman, RC1, I move the Commission adopt an order in case number GE-13-815, granting the request of NTC Incorporated of Savage, Minnesota, to operate a 104,000-bushel grain warehouse at Northwood, North Dakota.
Second.
NTC Incorporated is leasing two physically disconnected bins from Northwood Bean Company, Incorporated, and is establishing a grain warehouse license for purchasing dry edible beans. All the statutory compliance has been met, and staff recommends their request be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC2, I move the Commission adopt an order in case number GE-13-816, canceling warehouse license numbers 1250 and 1251, respectively issued to Technology Crops LLC, doing business as Technology Crops International, at Wimbledon and Pingree, North Dakota, and ordering that businesses at Wimbledon and Pingree are discontinued effective October 1st, 2013.
Second.
Technology Crops of Winston-Salem, North Carolina, filed a request to discontinue business for the grain warehouses at Wimbledon and Pingree. There are no outstanding storage obligations at either of these facilities, and although TCI will no longer operate grain warehouses in North Dakota, they will continue to purchase grain in the state via their active roving grain buyer license.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC3, I move the Commission adopt an order in case number GE-13-823, granting the request of American Bean LLC of Petersburg, North Dakota, to a 69,000-bushel grain warehouse at Sharon, North Dakota, and a 45,000-bushel grain warehouse at Cummings, North Dakota. I further move the Commission grant the request of American Bean to operate its grain warehouses at Sharon and Cummings full-time through dry edible bean harvest and on an as-needed basis by appointment only for the remainder of the year.
Second.
First of all, in the printed motion, in the second paragraph, the word operate has a S on it that could be removed. And just for information on the case, American Bean is going to receive dry edible beans during harvest at these locations. And then during the remainder of the year, these warehouses will just be operated on an as-needed basis. All the statutory compliance has been met, and staff recommends that the licenses be issued. If American Bean sounds very familiar, we've had not problems with them, but a series of motions. They got a roving grain buyer license back in April, and then this Petersburg facility, a previous operator there discontinued business, and American Bean took over that one. That was in July. And now this, to add two more facilities just during the harvest and then as needed basis after that. So the fact that they may sound familiar does not indicate that we've had any problems.
Here we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I just want to know how you could vote against something called American Bean.
let's hope nobody can.
Is there any further discussion? Since you're not all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
And lastly, RC4, I move the Commission adopt an order in case number GE-13-804, granting the request of Healthy Food Ingredients LLC of Fargo, North Dakota, to operate as a roving grain buyer in North Dakota, effective immediately.
Second.
Healthy Food Ingredients filed a license application to operate as a roving grain buyer in the state. They estimate purchasing 210,000 bushels of grain during the first year in operation and have filed a corresponding $90,000 surety bond. Statutory compliance has been met, and staff recommends that a roving grain buyer license be issued. I'd also point out this was previously on the consent agenda as RC1. There were no issues that I found alarming in that I moved it. It's just my ongoing pattern that I think that these roving grain buyers and grain warehouses are too big of an issue to not address on a full vote, and so I just don't like having them on the consent agenda. And in a similar type of name to American Bean, it would probably be hard to go against healthy food ingredients too. So.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since you're not all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Commissioner Fedorchak.
Mr. Chairman, I might ask that we take a brief 5-minute break right now. I just have to consult with a couple staff on something that I didn't.
All right. We'll be on break until 5 of. Thank you.